Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. I hope you brought your Bible tonight. Will you please open the scriptures with me, and may we turn together to the 17th chapter of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 17, and I'd like to read verses 11 through 19. This evening, I'd like to speak to you on the subject, the magnificent minority. Would you follow along, please, as we read together from God's word, Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The magnificent minority. May we pray together. Father, this is a powerful passage of Scripture, one that we need to understand in this season of Thanksgiving and in the season of everyday living. Father, help us to make a wise choice as to those with whom we will be numbered. Will we join the 9 or will we join the 1? Lord, help us to be filled with hearts of gratitude and give praise to you. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Here is a man whose acquaintance we would do well to make. It is true that he is a Samaritan and was therefore despised by the Jews. But despite this fact, here is a man worth knowing. It is interesting as we read this passage, the things that we do not know about him. We don't know his name. We know nothing about his background or his family. We don't even know his occupation. But what we do know about him is enough for us to admire him and even love him. Now, as we read this passage, we discover that he is one of 10 men who were suffering from the dreadful disease of leprosy. Leprosy was an awful disease of the skin that brought incredible pain and often led to an agonizing death. Those who had leprosy were considered unclean. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, we read what the Old Testament says regarding those who suffered from this disease, and the scripture says, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he is to remain unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." And so here is this one man, along with the other 9, and all of them are suffering. And so the question emerges, what is it that makes this man different from the others? What is it that sets him apart from the others? What is it that makes him so magnificent? In several respects, these 10 men were alike. In fact, may I mention 7 ways that these men shared similarities? For one thing, all of these men had leprosy. All 10 of them suffered from the same dreadful disease. Not just the Samaritan, but the other Jewish companions as well, all suffered from this agonizing disease. And the sufferings were multiplied. They suffered physically. Infectious, oozing sores covered their flesh. They suffered domestically. Because of the fright of this disease being contagious, they were isolated from their wives and children. They weren't able to live at home and carry on with the normal activities of life. They suffered economically. They could not hold down a normal job and generate income. And they lived with all the stress of these financial burdens. They suffered socially as they were forced to live in isolation. They suffered emotionally as they were weary of all the mounting stress that continued to build day after day. They suffered spiritually because they were considered ceremonially defiled. And so these men were all alike, first of all, in that they all suffered from the same dreadful disease of leprosy. Another way that all these 10 men were alike, and that is in their desperate determination to live. All 10 of these men loved life and had a passion for every day. Though they seemed hopelessly doomed, they would not give up. They refused to quit. They kept hoping for healing, and they kept fighting for life because all 10 of them had a desperate determination to go on living. They loved life. A third similarity between all of these men is that all of them possessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the scripture says in verse 12 that when Jesus came to town, that as he came to the village, 10 men with leprosy went out to meet him. These men undoubtedly had heard about Jesus. They'd heard about his ministry. They'd heard the good news of how he healed the sick and even raised the dead. And their thought was, I want to ask Jesus to do for me what he has done for others. I believe Jesus can make me well. I believe the Master can speak and I will be healed. And so they all went out to meet him because they all possessed faith in Jesus. In verse 13, we see yet another similarity in that all 10 of these men appealed to Jesus for help. The scripture says they all cried out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. You see, all 10 of these men were men of prayer. They believed it makes a difference when you call upon the name of the Lord. And in their desperation, what did they do? They cried out to the Master and said, Master, have pity on us. Another similarity is that all 10 of these men now had a decision to make. For whenever they appealed to Jesus for help, he issued a command. He didn't instantaneously heal them, but rather he gave them this instruction. He said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And so now suddenly, all 10 of these men are standing at the crossroads of decision. This seems to be a strange command. For you see, one was to go to the priest after he had been healed, after he had been healed. And if his flesh has now been made well, he would go to the priest and the priest would examine him and say, you're well and you no longer have to live in isolation. We no longer fear that you are contagious so you can return to your family and to society. And so it was strange that Jesus was saying to these men, while they still had leprosy, while they could still look down and see the oozing sores, while the pain still raced through their bodies, and yet Jesus is saying to them, while they are still in this condition, you go show yourselves to the priests. And so all 10 of these men are now standing at the crossroads of decision, and they're having to decide, Am I going to do what he said? I mean, this is strange. This is unusual. Could be embarrassing. They had to decide what they were going to do. Will we discount the command of Jesus and consider it foolish? Or will we simply obey? And that leads to the sixth way in which all these men were alike. And that is in the fact that all 10 of them obeyed Jesus. The scripture says that Jesus saw them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And verse 14 says, "And they went." That is, all 10 of them started on this journey. All 10 of these men obeyed. They had faith, and the proof of their faith was in their obedience. You see, the big test that Jesus had for these men was, would they believe in him? Would they trust him? Would they have enough faith to act in obedience? And they all passed the test. Even though they did not understand the order of things, they obeyed. And they obeyed because they believed. Then there's a seventh way that these 10 men were all alike. And that is in their healing. The scripture says that as they were going, Jesus said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. As they walked in obedience. Isn't it amazing when we just walk in obedience to God, how he sets things in order in our lives? And as they went, they were healed. Not just one or two or three, but all 10 of them were healed. How hopeless they seemed as they started upon their journey. But they had not gone very far before suddenly something happened. It was the touch of God in their life. And suddenly they realized, "My sores are gone. The pain is gone. I am healed. I no longer have leprosy. I am healed. I am healed." And praise be to God for his healing. It seems that this healing was both instantaneous and visible. I mean, as they were going in obedience, instantaneously, powerfully, they were cleansed of their illness. It was visible. They could see that something wonderful has transpired. And so we see that these 10 men were alike in seven ways. Let's review, okay? All of them had leprosy. All of them had a desperate determination to live. All of them possessed faith in Jesus and appealed to Jesus for help. All of them had a decision to make when Jesus gave them the command. All of them obeyed, and all of them were miraculously healed. But here is where their likeness ends. For you see, here is where they come to the parting of their ways. And we come to the heart of the story. Having been healed, what did they do? The conduct of the majority is vastly disappointing. I imagine as they stood upon that dusty road, they did so long enough to realize the healing that was now flowing through their veins, and suddenly they departed and they were gone. Perhaps they went on to show themselves to the priests. Can't you imagine the conversations that may have transpired? One speaks up and he says, "I haven't seen my farm in a whole year." And he hurries away. "I haven't been to my place of business for even longer," says another, and he too is gone. "It's been long, weary months since I've felt the hug of my wife and the kiss of my baby's lips, says another, and soon he's gone too. And three are gone, then four have vanished, and then there's five and six, seven, eight, nine, ten. They've all scattered. They've all departed. Oh. There was one left, wasn't it? They didn't all depart. All but one. Look at him standing there on that road. Look at his face. Can't you see the mixture of joy and bewilderment? He's thrilled that he's healed, but he's bewildered that his nine companions have vanished so quickly. Listen as he says to himself, I too have a business that I haven't seen in many months. I too yearn to hug my wife and to kiss my sweet babies. Oh, but there is something more pressing than all that. I must first go back to the one who gave me back my life and give him thanks. I want to see my farm. I want to see my sweetheart. And I want to see my babies. But it's much more important that first of all, I return to Jesus and express my gratitude. And so he turned back. Even though he had to turn back alone, he did it. And the scripture says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So there you have the picture. 10 go to beg, and 10 are healed. But only one returns to God and gives thanks. A small minority, we must confess, but what a magnificent minority. Was I right in saying that this man is worth our knowing? Indeed, this man towers above the other 9 like Mount Everest towers above the foothills. And why is this the case? What was wrong with these 9? Why do they look like such pathetic dwarfs as we look at them? Please understand. It is not because of an unkind word they said when they received their gift. It is rather the fact that they simply said nothing. They took their priceless gift and went their way in silence. Why would they do such a thing? Perhaps they were not thankful. Perhaps they reasoned in their own hearts, you know, there's a logical explanation for what's transpired here today. I mean, it was my time to get better. It was going to happen anyway. It's logical and natural and normal and reasonable. There's nothing in this that relates to God or to the divine. You know, there are some people who just explain away everything. And perhaps they reason it was just coincidental that the timing of my healing transpired after I prayed. It just happened that way. And so maybe they didn't see the hand of God in it at all. And they did not give thanks because they were not grateful in their heart. And you cannot with authenticity give thanks if you don't have gratitude in your heart. Perhaps the reason they were silent is because they took their blessings for granted. Maybe they said to themselves, you know, I'm so glad I got what I wanted, but hey, I've got a lot of life to catch up on. I've got a lot of living to do now that I've got my life back, and I've got some important things to do. Maybe they reasoned in their heart that Jesus knows everything and I don't need to tell him what he already knows. It's not necessary for me to take the time and spend the energy to verbalize the words of gratitude because he already knows what's in my heart and I don't need to say it. Or perhaps they just got so caught up in the gift that they forgot the giver. How quickly this can happen. I don't know what they were thinking, but I do know what they did. And it's an ugly scene. They took their priceless gift from God and went their way in silence. And so why then do we honor this nameless Samaritan? It's for one reason. And that is for the fact that when he received his blessing from God, he stopped what he was doing and he returned to the master and fell at his feet and said, "Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." Will you bow your heads with me, please? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, may I ask you a question? Has God been good to you? Has he blessed you this past year? Has he answered prayers? Has he provided for your needs? Has he protected you from harm and danger? Has he brought healing to your heart or to your body? Has he comforted you in sorrow? Has he shepherded you in times of decision? Has he sustained you through trials? Has he strengthened you in times of weakness? Has he given you blessing after blessing? All of us can testify and say yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. God has been so good to me. So here's the question I want to ask as I close. Who will you be like? Will you be like the 9 healed lepers who took their blessings from God and went their way in silence? Or will you be like the one who received his blessing and stopped what he was doing, went back to God, and gave him thanks? I want to be a part of the magnificent minority, don't you? Then let us refuse to be blessed and silent. when we are blessed, and we are blessed beyond measure, let us go back to God and give Him thanks. As the scripture says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise be to God. May our hearts be filled with gratitude. And may we live a life of thanksgiving throughout every day. Great things You have done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. Amen.